You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us no matter where you're listening. You can call, you can text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Really busy show coming up for you today. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturdays from 9 to 11. Jim Santel joining us after the 9:30 news. Just a couple things to talk to Jim Santel about.
Yeah, we get to talk about habeas corpus again.
So we can all get on the same page. Maybe Kristi Noem will tune in and learn something.
She may tune in, but I doubt she'll learn anything, Jane.
Worth a shot. One can always hope.
Yeah.
Brittany Merlot will be here next hour for a little weather and wine. Of course, Brittany, Civic Media's meteorologist. We're going to talk about what's coming up, where we are as far as drought is concerned in Wisconsin. Yeah. This has been an ongoing concern for the last couple of years. So we'll find out about that and find out what we got coming up for the long Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, indeed. And by the way, speaking of Memorial Day weekend, we will be off on that Monday.
We will.
But you can catch us still at 9 to 11 on Monday morning, but we will be presenting a pre-recorded best of curated episode for you, showing off all of our favorite segments and interviews from the past few weeks here on Matinair and Air. So we will be pre-recorded. We will not be live
on Monday,
but if you would like to tune in anyways, you go ahead and tune in.
And we're going to have, like, I think it's mine, at least so far to date.
Yeah.
My favorite tis battle of all time.
Oh yes. But which one is it? You'll tune in.
Oh, that's called a tease.
Yeah.
Also next hour, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, will be here to talk all things sports balls. And then we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the fictional fiction edition. Wow. Stick around for that. That should be a lot of fun. Wanted to start off with this, though. Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, has been having this ongoing lead crisis in schools. Yeah. They have actually had to shut down 9 schools in Milwaukee because of the aging lead pipes and the presence of lead in the water, which we know has very detrimental effects on children and just on all of us, really. Nobody wants to be consuming lead.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to worry about, Greg Bach.
Why?
If you listen to Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr.
Oh, he's such an expert, Jane.
He's on top of everything. Nothing to worry about here. Robert Kennedy Jr., 2 days ago, was testifying before a Senate subcommittee when he was asked about a branch of the CDC, Centers for Disease Control.
Yes.
Asked about a branch of the CDC that had been laid off because they had all these firings at the CDC. This branch that has been essentially eliminated was responsible for investigating and preventing lead poisoning. And had been working with Milwaukee health officials. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. To respond to this lead contamination in Milwaukee public schools. After those layoffs, the collaboration stopped, according to Milwaukee health officials. But he said 2 days ago, quote, "We are continuing to fund the program," referring to the CDC's childhood lead poisoning prevention program in Milwaukee, "and we're giving lead to analytics Milwaukee working with the health department in Milwaukee," unquote. One little thing.
Oh, no.
Carolyn Reinwald is a spokesperson for the Milwaukee Health Department. She says an HHS, Health and Human Services, or CDC team in Milwaukee helping with lead poisoning response, but there is no such team.
There's a department?
She disputed that there's an HHS or a CDC team in Milwaukee helping them to respond to this lead crisis, saying there is no such team. "We have not received any federal epidemiological or analytical support related to the lead crisis in Milwaukee public schools."
So it would seem to me, I only have a college degree. Right. It seems like Bob Jr. is lying.
Or he just doesn't know what's going on. I actually think likely.
You think he just doesn't know what's going on?
Yes. I really do. I don't think look at Tony from Tuco.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
Well, he also, I mean, the same, he said the same thing to, this was the same thing to Amy Baldwin like 1.5 years ago. We made part of that clip, which is the most enraged I've ever heard Tammy Baldwin get. And he very much said that it was a problem. He agreed it was a problem. And he said that it was his, like, his department, his call. And he said in front of her and on camera that if there was money allocated, that it will be taken care of. So I guess somewhere between it will be taken care of, it just turned into it's taken. So he must think, I said it in front of the Senate.
And therefore.
There, someone who works back at the office was like, well, I'll get on that. And then I did nothing to follow up on that whatsoever. But don't worry, folks. It is happening because I said it.
Right.
And I am Robert F. Kennedy.
Exactly. I don't think he has anything going on. I don't.
Period.
I think this could be applied to a lot of members of this administration.
People who are in charge of tens of thousands of people, if not more, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in their departments. The FBI, the Pentagon, HST, person who is truly qualified to be running their department. Name one. I'll wait. I'm here till 11.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. Multiple schools in Milwaukee have been closed for lead remediation. There are plans in place to clear lead paint hazards from dozens of schools before next year. But how, again, this is going to happen without help from the federal government, that kind of remains to be seen. The only federal involvement that local officials have pointed to, there was a 2-week visit earlier this month from one person on a CDC fellowship who helped set up some new lab equipment to make sure it was working properly. Not a team. One person on a CDC fellowship.
So a tech person.
Essentially.
Doing their job, whatever.
Yeah, doing their job. Setting up this new lab instrument to ensure that it was working properly. Great. Before the layoffs at Health and Human Services, Milwaukee health officials had asked the CDC for on-site help. Again, we've shut down 9 schools in Milwaukee because of lead problems. They made that request late in March. They asked for a small team of CDC folks to come to town to lend their expertise and help develop a plan for large-scale testing for lead poisoning. And then, of course, there were massive layoffs, and the CDC denied Milwaukee's request for help, pointing to, quote, the complete loss of our lead program, unquote. But Bob says they're on the ground here. Robert Kennedy Jr. says, no worries. It's all good. We got a team on the ground in Milwaukee, even though no one in Milwaukee has seen said team.
It begs the bigger question. I mean, and I know what the answer is, and I know it's frustrating, but it's like, why would a lead poisoning remediation program be canceled in the first place? I know that the state has no interest in helping. They want to cut funding on that as well. They're happy to let lead poisoning.
Well, especially if it's in Milwaukee.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's something that I brought up. I don't remember if it was here or on Pat's show, which is if a lead problem was a problem in this state, but it was only in rural areas, they would have fixed it years ago. But because it's Milwaukee, they don't have to care. And they get to not care and tell them, we're not going to give money to Milwaukee. They don't need it. They got enough money there. Blah, blah, whatever. It's like Milwaukee is Milwaukee and they're the enemy. Well, guess what? There are lead problems in rural areas. There's lead problems all over the state. And when our elected officials, state and federal, turn their backs on us, why do you still vote for them? Why?
Because it's not going to affect me.
Now. Right now. But how about down the road? How about your kid, your grandkid? It just doesn't make any sense to me anymore.
I hear you. Tony on the live stream, was RFK answering or was the brain worm controlling what he was saying? That's a good question, Tony. We're not sure who is actually in control of Bob Jr.'s brain.
Yeah.
He went swimming last weekend.
Yeah.
Outside of D.C.
Okay.
In a river that is known to be heavily polluted. It's on social media. Maybe he's just immune from everything now because he had the brain worm and everything.
That's the thing. That's what, you know, there are people out there who think because they take certain supplements, they do certain things, whatever they do. And if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Fine. But those people shouldn't be in charge of Health and Human Services. They believe their body's immune from those types of maladies and diseases and viruses. But what we find out is that's not true because we're all humans. We're all made of the same skin, bone, and blood, and we're frail to certain things. So making statements like that is, you know, back in the day, the forefathers, they used to swim in the Potomac because the Potomac was clean. But you can't do that anymore. But let him do it. If he doesn't die on the spot, people are like, well, see, he's healthy. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that what he's doing now won't have a knock-on effect in years.
Right.
Because he's not an expert and he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
He's a liar, but also a lawyer.
He is a lawyer. Yeah, again, we're talking about the problem with lead, and Tony says in the live stream as well, and Earl Ingram talked a lot about this.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
About this on his show. But Tony says, too, lead is a problem nationwide. I learned that from Earl.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And as we always say, especially in the matters of the state, but you can go to myvote.wi.gov, and if you have opinions on this matter or really any matter that affects you, which nowadays they're all going to affect us, go to myvote.wi.gov and you can look up your representatives from the federal down to the local, and you can call them and tell them their phone numbers are there, their email addresses are there.
Yep.
Be nice, be nice, respectful,
yes.
But make your voice heard, because that's, I know it sounds so naive to say this, but that is how you start to affect change.
And if they hear from enough people,
mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think that that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Is for there to be enough people for them to finally sit up and go, oh, maybe this is something that we're going to have to address.
It has to be a cavalcade of individuals saying, hey, why don't you just be nice to us? Because if you don't, then they'll just say, hey, everybody, my buddy who owns 5 planes needs a 6th plane, so I'm going to give him a tax break, but I'm going to cancel your benefits. Is that okay? I didn't hear from you, so I guess it's fine.
You must not be bothered by that. You must not be bothered. John from Oshkosh has a question on the text line. I miss Earl. Can we hear him anywhere? We have Earl's podcast on our website.
Yes.
Earl now is doing podcasts. Check it out at civicmedia.us. Look for Earl Ingram. He should be on that main page.
You can also listen to old shows, too.
Absolutely.
Catch up and get reinformed and whatnot. But, yeah, he is not going anywhere. He is going to be on the network doing local drop-ins, doing very important specific topics.
He was on Pat's show this morning.
Exactly.
Coming up, the plane. It's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up tomorrow, our statewide text win contest.
Mm-hmm.
A 4-pack of Brewers tickets is going to be up for grabs tomorrow. All across the network, starting with Pat Kreitlow, mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, then our show 10 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Each of us tomorrow will have a keyword for you that you want to text in via the Civic Media app.
Yes.
And that will get you in the running for that 4-pack of tickets to see our great Milwaukee Brewers. Club level seats.
I was going to say those seats have to be like somewhere like on the top of the roof.
Or no.
Maybe even outside. You're like, you can listen to the game.
They're cushy seats.
Cushy club level seats. And can I take a brief moment to talk about the Civic Media app for a second?
Take it away.
So what you want to do is, in order to participate in this contest, you have to participate through the app. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to your app store of choice, download the Civic Media app, and what's great about it is you can customize it for news, for your location, for the station you want to listen
to. Yeah, it's pretty great.
You can also call and text, but that's not it, Jane.
There's a new feature.
If you got the updated version, we're always updating the app. There's a new one where you can send a voice text to us. So what will happen is you'll open your app. There'll be a button right in the middle that says when you get to your station. It'll say voice text. You can record a message and send it to us, and it will come through our text line. Then Calvin will go and listen to it to make sure it's appropriate, both in language and context. And if we have time, we can play your voice on the air.
I love that.
I love it. So, yeah, get the Civic Media app. It's getting bigger and better every day.
And it's still completely free.
Absolutely free.
As Greg likes to say. So you're going to need it tomorrow if you want to take part in the contest. So do it today. Go to your app store. And again, download the Civic Media app. It's super easy. I was able to do it. You're going to be able to do it. It's going to be fine. And yeah, use that new feature. I want to be one of the first ones to see one come in and we can play it. It'll be fun. The plane. Yes, we have accepted that free plane.
How?
From Qatar. Thank you, Tattoo.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate that. The Air Force has been asked to figure out a way to rapidly upgrade it so it can be used as a new Air Force One. You know the best thing about this free plane, Greg Bach?
How free it is.
How free it is, and the fact that the American taxpayer gets to pay for all of these upgrades and all the things it's going to need, because this is like a 13-year-old plane.
Yeah.
The Qataris have been trying to get rid of this for a while. They finally found someone to take it off their hands. So it's us.
Yeah, it's...
We get to pay for all of these upgrades and repairs and all these things, and then best of all, Trump gets to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great?
The upgrades that need to happen, they say this is probably going to be about said and told, after upgrades, security, after everything that needs to be done, it's going to be about $1 billion.
Only a billion.
And let's just heap that on the pile of all the ways we're going to get doinked in the new big, beautiful bill.
Yeah.
It's... Folks, we're just, did you know that you were a billionaire? Well, you're not anymore because you're paying for a plane.
But it's our plane.
It's our plane.
It's our plane, but Donald Trump gets to keep it.
So I'll ask James Santel when he comes here after the break. I guess we just, either did some whiteout or just poked holes right through the emoluments clause.
Yeah, no one in the Trump administration can pronounce that word. So I don't think
I pronounced it right there.
So I think they just skip over it.
Yeah. Emoluments? Is it emoluments? Emoluments.
The free plane is estimated to be about $200 million, but as we've mentioned, it does require extensive work before it can be considered secure enough to carry the president. Quote, any civilian aircraft will take significant modifications to do so, says the Air Force Secretary. Based on direction, we are postured and we're looking at that right now. What it's going to take for that particular aircraft. Again, lucky us, the American taxpayers, that free plane, we get to pay for all the upgrades and all the special things and all the gold interior that he really likes. And that'll be so nice. And then his library gets to keep it.
I just looked up how much does it cost to build an Air Force One plane from scratch. And it says... The estimated cost to build one Air Force One from scratch is around $3.9 billion for two aircrafts. The Pentagon has estimated the total cost, including equipping and testing, to be close to $5.3 billion. Oh. And because they want to put a rush on it, we all know that when you have to put a rush on it, there's also a charge.
It's always good. I mean, again, Boeing has been working on a new Air Force One for years now. Boeing's having some problems of their own.
I guess the question is how long will this take? Because
are we going to give it to Boeing to upgrade?
I hope not.
Then what kind of assurances do we have that that's going to be any speedier?
Jane, I'm going to go ahead and say there are no assurances. There's no assurances that it'll be fast, affordable, or even flyable by the time the president's even out of office. So, yep.
And that's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
Let's posit.
Yeah.
That the plane is never done by the time at the end of his term.
Yeah.
He still gets to keep it. I mean, his library.
Yeah.
He's
going to get that is the other thing, Jane. And we don't have time to go over this right now, but come on. The Donald Trump library.
It's going to be a really small room.
It's going to just be a bunch of phones where you can read all of his tweets.
There will be lots of pictures. There will be lots of pictures.
Ugh.
Lots of memes.
I don't get a free flight in this plane either.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus Law Review, Jim Santel, will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in New Zealand on the app. Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on today, Todd Alba is back out on the road from 2 to 4 today. Todd is in the Chippewa Valley. It's a Thursday edition of the Todd Alba Show, and he will be talking to Civic Media Bureau Chief James Kelly.
Nice.
During the show. So you may want to join Todd for that. You should join Todd for that today from 2 to 4 p.m. Another show you definitely should listen to happens on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11, hosted by this guy, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and acting attorney and host of Amicus, a Law Review. He joins us every Thursday. Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Jane, Greg, great to be with you once again. And yes, planes. Yes, and other things out there too. Right?
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the whole emoluments thing, and is that legal? But first, I wanted to start off with something we did talk a little bit about before. But because you are an attorney and you are a former U.S. attorney, I would really like your opinion on this. Habeas corpus came up in discussions with Kristi Noem.
Homeland Security.
Secretary of Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. You would think she would know these things. This is an important thing. We have a little exchange between Kristi Noem that Calvin has. Calvin, can we play that clip, please?
So, Secretary Noem, what is habeas corpus?
Well, habeas corpus is a constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
That's incorrect. Habeas corpus is the legal principle that requires that the government provide a public reason for detaining and imprisoning people. If not for that protection, the government could simply arrest people, including American citizens, and hold them indefinitely for no reason.
Or disappear
them. Habeas corpus is the foundational right that separates free societies like America from police states like North Korea. As a senator from the Live Free or Die state, this matters a lot to me and my constituents and to all Americans.
This kind of is important for all Americans, the whole... If the government grabs me, I have the right. If I understand habeas corpus correctly, Jim, and correct me if I'm wrong, if the government grabs me off the street, I have the right to question their evidence against me or why they are holding me. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right. It's fundamental due process, which we've talked about at great length, also on this wonderful broadcast. It's the notion that you've got a government that is fair and decent and treats its citizens according to those principles. If you are charged with something, you have a right to know what those charges are. As you've just indicated, Jane, you've got a right to defend against them. You'd be able to bring in witnesses and documents and basically say the government is wrong. You have a right to a judge, an impartial jurist, to look at all that and say, well, all right, Santel, I think you're right or wrong on that. That's called due process. And again, more specifically, what our Homeland Secretary apparently has never learned in her life, including time as a governor and now as one of the principal leaders of our federal government, habeas corpus is exactly that. It is a legal procedure that says that before the body, that's where the word corpus comes from, literally, for what it's worth, again, far beyond Kristi Noem to know this, but it's Latin. It means you should have the body. And thus a writ of habeas corpus is a petition to the government to challenge the continuing detention of that body, alleging the unlawful detention, the imprisonment, requesting that the court enter an order releasing the body or not, depending upon what the evidence is. Basic due process. It is, as the senator continued to question our secretary, it's in the first article of the Constitution. You don't even have to get to all those pesky amendments, which she probably doesn't also like
just
a whole
right
lot.
At the beginning.
it's right in the beginning. You know, James Madison said, this is pretty important. Let's throw it in the first couple of lines here. And she doesn't even know that. Goes on to say that, no, it's a power of the executive branch. And again, the notion, of course, is that she is completely misconstrued what this is, doesn't understand it. Multiplying the problem is, of course, the fact that she's not her agriculture secretary. She's not the head of the Space Force. This is somebody who deals in bodies, right? And detaining human beings and the process by which we deport them or not. This is something that, frankly, should be on her desk every morning. At least there should be some discussion about the application of this principle. Again, shocking, stunning, amazing that she does not know this, and she has to be schooled, again, by a United States senator.
And I want to give context to the reason why they're having this conversation, too. And we've talked about this with you, Jim, and we also talked about this with Judge Paul Michel. This notion that came out of the White House via Stephen Miller, that they want to look at suspending habeas corpus in some cases. And I even wrote as a response to somebody on Facebook, a long response, and I sent it to Jim to confirm the language because I wanted to make sure I was right. But this is a part of due process that you can't simply put an asterisk on and say, well, we're going to today suspend habeas corpus for the following individuals. No, it is a zero-sum game. It is a binary state. There is either habeas corpus or there isn't, and it applies to everyone. And when it doesn't apply to everyone, that means they can do anything they want for any reason, and there is no recourse. Am I wrong, Jim?
You are exactly right. And again, maybe we put Stephen Miller and Christy Noem in the same remedial civics class that a number of the other folks need to go into. Also, again, articulating this notion that suspension is just some one of these things we do on a Tuesday, and we can have the president issue another executive order right, and do that. The reason, Jane, going back to your very first comment, the reason why suspending habeas corpus is so critical, why it is that the South Koreans, not too long ago, last year, December, and going forward, said, no, we're not going to permit martial law to take place. We're not going to suspend all these basic processes. It's because it goes to the core of a democratic government. And absent that, everything else falls. That's how fundamental it is. It is not one of these things. It's not a procedural thing. It's not a small administrative regulation that you decide to impose for implementing the law. It is core. You lose habeas corpus. You impose martial law, and you no longer have a representative republic. That's how critical this is.
And again, to try and make this as simple as humanly possible, without habeas corpus, the government can grab anybody off the street, jail them, disappear them, and you have no recourse. None. You don't get to ask for an attorney. You don't get to ask for a hearing. You can ask what they're holding you for, but they don't have to tell you.
Right.
This is
right.
What happens.
Exactly.
This is what happens in North Korea. This is what happens in Russia.
And the concern, as I suspect all your listeners are thinking of as we discuss this, is this what's now happening in America, as we have literally hundreds of thousands of people now, as late as this past week. Again, we've got eight more. We've got tens of thousands before, maybe 300,000 in El Salvador, again, being packed up and shipped off. The writ of habeas corpus also, which we need to affirm every single time we get together. These basic civil rights, they apply to people who are here. It's not just citizens. It is people who are geographically here. And we wonder out loud then if we are seeing already that we backed into it. And it's one of those frog boiling things where at some point you suddenly realize, my gosh, the water is hot. It gradually happens. And then all of a sudden it's gone. That's the concern about this. And we're seeing this by this president and by this administration on a regular basis, not without judicial pushback. But once again, Americans need to appreciate the significance of this. When one day someone comes to your door and says, I don't like what you said, I don't like what you wrote, I don't like where you're protesting, and I'm simply going to take you and you are done, that's habeas corpus being destroyed and not being followed at all.
If you're just joining us, Jim Santel is our guest. He's a former U.S. attorney and acting attorney and also a host of Amicus, a law review across the network, Saturdays from 9 to 11.
And the question I want to put on top of that, what Jim just said, is for all those who, support the president, who are about freedom, who are about the freedom of freedom being just America and everything they stand for. Tell me how you stand for something like this and yet still stand behind the basic tenets of America, which is freedom, liberty, justice, those types of things. When you suspend or try to get just let's just say get rid of. Let's not say suspend. Let's just say get rid of. Suspend sounds like as you said, James.
We won't have it today.
On a Tuesday, yeah. It'll be, but on Wednesday, suspend. Don't worry. Next week, it's coming back. This is due process, not the McRib. We're talking about a really big problem here. And please justify how you can stand behind such a statement and still say you believe in the tenets of America. Just I need to know that.
Right. And again, that's the not just the inconsistency, that's the hypocrisy, right, of those folks who are saying just that. And here's the other point, which we've also made before. No one is coming right to the substance of the allegations. It may well be that I or some of those tens of hundreds of thousands of people are in fact dangers, and maybe they should be apprehended, and maybe they should be deported under our rules and regulations. The point is, we don't know that. Why? Because they haven't had that hearing. They haven't had, Jane, the capacity that you just described to defend against them. And in that situation, we're not making a determination about the merits or demerits of what they have done. That's exactly the reason why we have habeas corpus, to figure that out. That's what everybody, Greg, as you just said, should embrace, because, again, the day may come when you or your folks in your particular neighborhood or community, you yourselves find yourselves in that position without an opportunity to tell your government why it is you should not be detained. How do you feel about that? And that's your not just rhetorical question. That's the very practical question that you're asking.
Something else I would like to clarify, Jim, because I've seen this lobbed also, and even Donald Trump, I think, has essentially said this. If we have to give habeas corpus to all of these illegal immigrants, they'll be having trials for millions and millions of years. That's not how that works.
It is not. And we know, because we've been doing this for a long period of time. We all know that perhaps inappropriately, a fellow named Barack Obama was identified as the deporter in chief, literally hundreds of thousands. What is the difference between what's going on now and then? It's because all of those people were deported, yes, through due process. They were given opportunities to be heard. And again, in administrative proceedings, not all in federal court, although you can appeal that as well. They were given precisely the process through the immigration procedures that many, if not all of these folks, are not being given. And so that's the point, too. We are able to do this. Is the immigration system overloaded? You bet it is. Do we need more immigration judges? Absolutely. Hey, Congress, maybe you had an opportunity a few months back to do something about that. You didn't. And now we're complaining about that. But the reality is, there is a process in place. It's not going to increase by millions or billions of proceedings. It's a lot, but we do this routinely. We've been doing it. All we're asking for, all we're requiring, not just asking, it is a mandate of our nation that these people go through the same processes that have been in place for years under prior administrations. Now, all of a sudden, huge left turn, no more. That's the point.
Yeah, maybe a few more dollars for more judges and fewer dollars towards that stupid wall. Jim Santel is our guest. We will continue our conversation. He hosts Amicus, a law review Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour, Brittany Merlot will be here with a little weather and wine. Find out what is coming up for the long Memorial Day weekend, so stay tuned for that. And Paul Noonan will be here after 10:30 to talk all things sports, so don't go too far. Right now, we are joined by Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney and also host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim, you just messaged me and about the Oklahoma Charter School. You want to give us a few more details about this?
You folks are always on the air when these big things break. It just, and good, you should be on the air all the time, right? A divided Supreme Court just announced this is a major victory, I would identify, for those folks who draw lines between government and religion. Supreme Court rejecting a plan, saying no to an Oklahoma request to use government money to run the nation's first religious charter school, teaching a curriculum about Catholic doctrine. Again, argued a number of days, weeks ago. Amy Coney Barrett recuses herself because of some prior involvement she had when she was presumably at Notre Dame. 4-4 decision. The upshot is the lower court decision stands, and the school does not get its charter in Oklahoma, and therefore the Oklahoma tax dollars are not used to support this Catholic religious institution. I am pleased by that. I suspect many of your listeners are. It is also a bit of a surprise given where the Supreme Court has gone on these religious cases in the past. Again, Amy Coney Barrett's recusal because of her prior involvement is significant. The court is split. Therefore, again, lower court remains the law. But it is a major decision in the jurisprudence of the First Amendment. Again, no establishment of a religion in America can't use money to do that. That's what the Oklahoma school wanted to do. Supreme Court, at least by virtue of its tie, we'll take that, right? By virtue of its tie, says, no, you can't do that. It is an important decision, again, under the First Amendment. Also, free exercise is out there, too. But this is an Establishment Clause decision of big importance. People are going to be talking about this one for days, if not years.
Really quick, Jim, because I'm trying to look it up right now. I know the three who voted against it. We all know who those are going to be. Who was the fourth that joined the, quote-unquote, liberal side of the justices?
Was it Gorsuch?
Or was it
Roberts?
Yes,
let's see. I'm just looking at the same thing that you are. Let's see. There, I'm not quite certain. My guess is that you certainly have the three. The other one, I'm not identifying.
I'm thinking it's going to be John Roberts because he's usually the one.
I was about to say that. The only reason I'm hesitant on the air to say that is because he was also the one who was articulating this new standard for these cases involving discrimination against religion. Yeah. And John Roberts has been leading the charge to erase Establishment Clause principles. So
gotcha. Okay.
I wish we could find that, but it is that's significant too, to figure out who exactly that was. Could be the Chief Justice. We know it wasn't Amy Coney Barrett because she took herself out of this. We know plainly Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson were three of those four. The upshot is, again, our Supreme Court today articulating a very important decision. It will be used in future cases to identify when the government should be not involved in religion. There should not be these entanglements, which used to be the standard until John Roberts got a hold of this. And again, it will animate a lot of our understanding of First Amendment principles going forward.
Well, I'm just listening for all the exploding heads from some of the authors of Project 2025 going, pfft,
yes.
Because this is what they want. The authors of Project 2025 and Project 2025 absolutely want the establishment of an official religion in this country. That's part of their goal.
Right. And they've articulated that in Project 2025. And one has to wonder also, of course, what we have here is a Christian school, right? This is a Catholic school. It applies across the board to Muslim schools, to Sikh schools, to Hindu schools, to Buddhist schools, to Jewish schools. And it should be that way, right? We shouldn't have that entanglement. one has to wonder aloud if it would have gotten this kind of reception and gotten this far, frankly, if we were talking, and again, in the Milwaukee area, other places, we've got some wonderful Muslim schools, and we do have those six schools and Jewish institutions. One has to wonder if it would have gotten that far, this far, if this was not a Christian Catholic school.
Absolutely.
It goes to your point, Joy, about maybe we don't want, just don't only want this to be a religious nation. We want it to be a Christian nation. And that, again, completely contrary to what our founding fathers wanted to have happen in our nation. Again, it's interesting to speculate about what could happen, did not happen here. We'll live for another day to see there are other religious cases out there, as we know, in other cases having to do with everything from decisions about academic presentations to school children. That one also premised in part upon an anti-LGBT animus, and that also generated, at least in part, by a religious fervor. So a lot of these things have lines all through them. And we've got those cases yet to hear. We've got about 45 more cases that we're entering that time period. Once again, your listeners know this. Next few weeks, we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about all these Supreme Court cases.
Decisions, yeah.
Including this one, once we figure out exactly who fell where and what exactly they're saying to us today. Big, important decision right here on your broadcast show. A reason to tune in every single day, right?
Thank you, Jim Santel.
The latest.
No,
Jim Santel, make sure you check out his show. It's fantastic. Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network. He joins us every Thursday at this time. Thank you so very much, Jim. We will see you next week. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.